Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 148. Ben Flanagan of AL.com. Ben Stark of Wondermill Films.
Ben Stark, this is Ben Flanagan. What's up?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Doing great. It's Halloween day. We're recording this, and we have managed to skip the entire month of October without recording hardly anything at all, let alone an episode about horror movies, and I thought better late than never. And the topic that's kind of running around in my brain right now is, how do we feel about recent horror? And that's relatively modern horror. I'm thinking in the last decade or so. Are there any movies that you think have been perfect or have come close to sort of scratching the surface of the horror that you grew up loving, the horror from the past that you grew to love today? Are there any movies that sort of, I don't know, I sort of concern myself with movies that aren't classically considered horror movies, just aren't really what you'd find in the genre by strict definition, but movies that I personally consider horror movies, some of which I would definitely include in this conversation as being some of the best horror movies over the last 10 to 15 years or so. But I want to put it out there to you. Let's make this, we can make it quick if we want to and breezy, but what are some of the horror movies of late, I should say, that you think are great and you think should be considered among the best horror of all time?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, I'm pretty much a lightweight when it comes to horror movies in general. I'm terrified of most everything. So I don't put myself through it very often. However, I really do appreciate a well-crafted horror movie when I see one. And I do think that it seems like, I may be speaking out of turn here, but it seems like we're in a bit of a golden age, or at least some sort of like renaissance, when you consider, you know, most people, when we were kids, most people will admit that the early 90s were kind of a low point for horror movies, when you really just got the dregs of sequels, and then you got the renaissance, you know, the whole meta narrative, Andrew Kevin Walker Scream movies in the late 90s, which in my opinion, I think a lot of those are a little bit overrated. And then in the early 2000s, you got the torture porn and those trends. And I feel like we've come out of those different trends. And now in the last 10 years or so, or 5 years even, we have a school of filmmakers that are really making smart, well-crafted horror movies that rely on character and tension and story more than just gore or sex or, you know, purely exploitation elements, which has been a bit of a problem in the past. Would you say that I'm kind of accurate in that, or am I just coming out of nowhere with it?
Yeah, it seems like over the past few years, there has been a few different occurrences where critics just absolutely lose their shit over horror movies. Like, you know, and there have been just a handful of them where they're just like, this is what it's all about. This is instant classic horror. And some, you know, that I've seen, I totally agree, and they're great. Some, I think they've overreacted a little bit. Like, I remember back in, like, I don't know if it was, like, 2006 or so, when people just lost their minds over this movie called The Descent, which
right.
is a perfectly fine horror movie, but I think it had just been so long since there had
yep.
been, like, what people yep. just considered a consensus great horror movie, that they were just so quick to just jump on it and say, this is it. This is what we've been waiting for. And really, ever since then, there are definitely still fans of a movie like that out there. But since then, they've been quiet because there have been others that might fit that bill a little better, including one that came out this year. And it's a movie that I have yet to see. And many consider The Witch to be one of the best movies of this year, if not one of the best horror movies of recent memory. You've seen it. You had an interesting reaction to it. You talked to our friend Matt Scalici about it on an episode of the show. Why do you think you were a little colder to The Witch, and why doesn't it belong in this conversation quickly?
Well, first of all, I think you should see it. I think tonight would be a great night to see it. So I definitely think it's the mood is one thing that movie totally nails, especially if you just want the Halloween mood. For me, it just doesn't do what I would prefer a horror movie to do. And I know, and there does seem to be a line between in these kind of movies that we're talking about recently of more populist kind of traditional horror movies and then kind of art house horror movies. You know, there's Under the Skin, which I haven't seen, and The Witch is probably more in that line there. So these movies that are horror movies, but they're not at all about audience experience unless you're just wanting to freak out the audience, kind of.
Right.
So I feel like that's where the Witch is. I feel like it is a little bit more of an audience exercise than in expectation and in I don't know. I feel like it's designed more for a artistic conversation than it is to, you know, thrill or you know, give you an experience, which that's kind of how I like to look at horror movies. And you know, I do appreciate the more mood and artistic driven horror movies. The Trial is kind of in that mold, but Don't Look Now is another one that, you know, that movie is not a ride at all. It's very much a kind of existential dread, very abstract horror movie, and it totally works for me. For whatever reason, the Witch doesn't. And yeah, after you watch it, I would definitely listen to our podcast, and I think hopefully I go into it there. But I mean, that, so I'm not a huge fan of The Witch, but I do think it's fair to be lumped into this kind of this conversation about recent horror classics. I mean, one that I watched just last week that I have to mention is House of the Devil by Ty West. I'm really late to that party, but man, that's a really good example of, I mean, I'm going to sound like one of those critics that you mentioned earlier. That's a very good example for me of a horror movie that just does it right, where it's not complicated. You know, like, to make a good horror movie, you need to have decent characterization, a lot of handle on mood and how you present a time and a place, and then tension and simple stakes that escalate gradually or suddenly or however you want. But House of the Devil is so great because it's like, you know, 7/8 of a movie where very little happens, and it's just this tightening of the screw, and then in the last little bit, it just, everything goes absolutely bonkers and crazy. And I was a huge fan of it, and I feel like that's all I ask for. You know, it's like a good action movie. You know, it does not, you don't have to get fussy about how to pull off a good movie in this genre.
Yeah, and going back to sort of what you were saying about, like, mood versus audience thrills, mood versus cheap thrills, I'm kind of divided when it comes to that, because I do love movies that sort of stoke that sense of dread, that tension within me, that gives me a feeling as I'm watching it rather than just, you know, screaming boo and getting me with jump scares and more, I don't know, more exciting or excitable moments that you see in something like, which I think is a classic modern version of this, in Sam Raimi's Drag Me to Hell, which I know you love,
yes,
too, which is just absolutely a bonkers Looney Tune horror movie that is just hits all the right notes for all the right reasons and is a ton of fun and is a great example of that and what I wish we would get more of. But then I think about other movies that, again, sort of hover around the genre without becoming a sort of an official part of it. And I know that before you mentioned Andrew Kevin Walker, I know you met Kevin Williamson, who wrote those Scream movies. who did the meta horror. You know, I think he did it well the first time, and then it got a little out of control.
Sorry, I meant Kevin Reynolds.
Right. We're going to talk about The Relic later, unless that was.
Sorry, I meant Andrew Dice Clay.
So I mentioned Andrew Kevin Walker because I'm reaching back a little too far here, but it's only because it's on my mind right now. But a movie like Seven, I think, is a great horror movie. It's something that just scares the hell out of me. If it is a serial killer movie, so I guess in a way you could file it under horror, but I think others would be a little more, I think others might be a little more strict about it because it's more of like a detective procedural, even though we're seeing a lot of that in horror these days. But Seven is a movie that absolutely chilled me to my bone. And there are a lot of movies out there where if it could happen, if it's something that exists within the world that we live in, if there is even a tinge of realism in it, that's kind of the stuff that gets me more than anything. So I go back to my favorite movie of 2011, which is Steven Soderbergh's Contagion, which I think is one of the best horror movies that I can recall in the last several years. It's a ton of fun, and it evokes mood. It causes me to sort of my stomach to churn a little bit in terms of thinking of, well, this could happen, I guess, and this exists sort of in the quasi-real world that Soderbergh often plays in, but it still kind of has a mixture of that and that sort of Drag Me to Hell. There are some really fun moments where Soderbergh plays with his audience. So that's a movie for me that absolutely nails tone and has fun within the genre while making you think about things too.
Well, speaking of recent, homages to Seven, or relatively recent, you're a huge fan of Taking Lives, right?
Parts of it.
You mentioned, this horror that can be, that's realistic and could happen. That brings to mind a movie that came out fairly recently that I did like, and it's Adam Wingard's You're Next. Have you seen that?
Nope.
It is a home invasion kind of movie in the vein of like The Strangers or Straw Dogs or something like that. And it's pretty good, and it's not necessarily scary. It's just like, it's effed up, dude. It's like, it's stuff happens and we're like, that's basically how that would happen if it happened. And it's not, like I said, it's not torture porn, but it's definitely in that realm of, well, there's really nothing standing between. This could easily happen to any of us. It's just, thank God, the people around us aren't crazy enough to do it. I think that is that genre has gotten kind of popular. But other than that, I can't really think of one that really stands out for me. I've heard good things about The Strangers, but I've never seen it. Or Vacancy, maybe. I don't know.
Luke Wilson horror is what I really want to talk about.
Francesca and I did an episode a few years ago about The Babadook, which I feel like is it's realistic in the way that, postpartum depression happens, and just kind of, parenting is hard, and that's a movie that illustrates that. But that is a recent movie, a horror movie that really struck a chord with me. Not just from the content and from the story, but the filmmaking in that is really really fantastic, really sharp, and Jennifer Kent just knows exactly what she's doing with her audience. So I would have to, if I was making a top five list of the last 7 or so years, that would be in there for sure.
Yeah, it's really good, and what really sort of gets me with horror is when great directors take their stab at horror, and maybe Jennifer Kent's just a great director, maybe she's just a great horror director, I don't know, and that's the thing, it's like, if it's a great horror movie, then they're at least a great filmmaker for that hour and a half or 2 hours, right? So they deserve credit in that regard, but again, I go back to directors like Steven Soderbergh and Sam Raimi and David Fincher, ones I've already mentioned. But then I think about somebody like Christopher Nolan, and I don't know that you could argue that he has made a horror movie. I probably would. The Prestige works as a horror movie for me because, again, it stokes that sense of dread within me, and it creates that feeling that a horror movie tends to create when I'm watching it. And so The Prestige is a movie that I consider scary for a variety of reasons. If you want to say it's not a horror movie, that's fine, but for me it's Christopher Nolan's horror movie. But another example is a guy like, I'm losing it right now. Martin Scorsese. So Martin Scorsese's probably made a handful that you could argue as horror movies. I mean, there are probably people out there who probably consider Taxi Driver horror movie to an extent. Bringing Out the Dead has elements of horror, but he made his first true horror movie in 2010 with Shutter Island, which kicked my ass up and down the theater when I watched it. I loved it. I couldn't wait for it going into it. To me, it looked like Martin Scorsese makes a Stephen King, adapts a Stephen King novel, even though it was Dennis Lehane that wrote it. That movie it just has all sorts of visceral nightmarish imagery and stuff going on. And Scorsese is just somebody who has a stranglehold on every single frame, no matter what he's making. So if you let him manipulate the audience in a way traditionally that horror does, then I think you're in trouble, because Martin Scorsese is a guy who has rare control when it comes to control not only of his story and of his characters and of what you see on screen, but of the audience too. So the fact that he could play in that genre, it was just like a whole different ballgame and playground for a director like him. Do you agree that Shutter Island is a great horror movie?
Oh, absolutely. I had trouble with it because of the ending the first time I watched it, but then you watch it again and it totally works still, so that means that ending works too. And also, I'll throw out, this is not recent at all, but he did I think we had this conversation last year about kind of great directors doing horror, but he did, so I'm probably repeating myself, he did an episode of Amazing Stories, and it was called Mirror, Mirror, and it's a really solid little horror short film, like about, 25 minutes long. So that was an early, or at least, relatively early look at what Scorsese could do in a horror story. Another very recent one that I definitely need to mention, I think I brought it up on our Best of 2015 show earlier this year, is the documentary, I think of Rodney Asher's documentary, The Nightmare, which is this documentary about sleep paralysis, which is something that I don't think I've ever suffered from. But the way that he stages the kind of testimonials and accounts of the people that he interviewed, it's some of the most scary stuff that I've ever experienced, watching a movie. And it's so fascinating. And it's like, you're so fully aware that these are all just basically illustrations, but there's something tangible about the fact that, somebody felt this fear and they're telling you about this fear and you're seeing it visualized. Some of the little vignettes work better than others, but when they work really well. So that's, and it's just a completely new and original way to tell a horror story. So that's one I definitely want to mention. Did you ever see The Nightmare?
No, but I remember you being really high on it and really you say you were like genuinely scared of it. And that always interests me when people are genuinely scared of movies. Like it puts them in a place they didn't think they could go when you're sitting in front of a screen, right? That's exciting to me. So I'll definitely check it out. But
I watched in the dark, like on a laptop, and that was a huge mistake. And real quick, the only other time I think really that's happened to me, in the privacy of my own home, is watching Twin Peaks. And there's a few moments in the show Twin Peaks that did that to me, where I had to turn off the computer, turn on the lights, and just read a comic book or something.
Yeah, Twin Peaks, just that's one that just gets under my skin, and that's like early 90s, and we're going a little further back. So
it's not for this conversation.
No, I know. I want to stop talking about it now. So
Bob.
Okay. Speaking of which, no, but one of the scariest movies of recent memory I can think of. Did you ever see that Johnny Depp movie Mordecai that came out a couple of years ago?
I mean, the posters were terrifying.
Are you up on mustache horror? No. Okay. Well, anyway.
Gwyneth Paltrow, there's a connection there to Contagion for sure.
Absolutely. And yeah, if you hated Mordecai, then watch Contagion, because she definitely gets her look
pay off.
In that for sure. But a couple more just like quick ones. And if, again, we're being repetitive, I'm sorry, but they're just the movies that still really speak to me right now from the genre are from Darren Aronofsky. Black Swan, I think, is a great horror movie where he gets to mess around with the audience in a way that he hadn't quite yet. It's a serious movie, but you can tell he's having fun which isn't necessarily a word that often describes Darren Aronofsky's movies, but I think Black Swan is probably the most fun movie he's made so far. That might be a low bar to clear, but it is, and you should check it out. And the other one that still sort of reigns supreme in a few ways to me is Let the Right One In, the Thomas Albertson
movie. Oh,
yeah. From, was it 2007 when that came out, or a little bit later?
Eight.
Yeah, okay,
eight,
either way. That movie rules, man, and it just frustrates me to no end that it got remade like 5 minutes after it came
yeah.
out in the U.S. And Matt Reeves is a great director. And I'm sure that
it's a good
fine.
Movie.
Yeah,
it
I'm
is.
Sure that movie's fine, but
yeah.
God Almighty, man! Like, just let that one just could have breathed for a little bit longer, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Another one I might mention is, well, I don't know. This is kind of right at the edge of this, that 10 years thing. I think is The Host. By Bong Joon-ho, Korean filmmaker, really good monster movie. And reaching back a good bit before that, he did a movie called Memories of Murder, but it's like 2003, so that's a pretty big cheat. I feel like I'm missing the last year, we talked about earlier, the mood thing. If you want to have the feeling of staying up late against your parents' wishes and watching a weird exploitation movie from the early 80s on like USA at 2 a.m. There's this movie called Beyond the Black Rainbow that is bizarre and creepy and doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but it's a wonderful experience. And it really puts you in that kind of forbidden zone mood. You know, where you're like, you're watching something you probably shouldn't be watching.
How did you stumble upon it?
It actually played at the 2012 Sidewalk Film Festival, but I think it's streaming on Netflix. And it was one that it was on my radar before that. So, it's a weird mixture of like Kubrick and Ridley Scott visuals from the early 80s, but through a very cheap Canon Films filter kind of. It's directed by the son of George P. Cosmatos, the guy that did Tombstone. His son directed it, so it's a weird movie across the board.
Damn, that just makes me want to watch Tombstone.
Yeah,
but so
speaking of mustache horror,
I think we're closing in on it here. But I want to ask you real quick, where just to sort of get away from recent horror. I know you only recently watched Dawn of the Dead, the original Romero movie, for the first time, like in the last
yeah.
few weeks. What was that?
Yeah,
like?
It was on my shelf of shame, which I'm, you know, tinkering away at. So far behind. It was after finally finding a version of it, which it's very hard to find, and I'm not even sure which cut of it I watched, but it was like 2.5 hours long. So it's a weird movie in terms of exactly where you find it and what you watch, but overall I really liked it, and it was such an interesting leap from Night of the Living Dead, which is, you know, just this iconic horror movie that you just show any scene from Night of the Living Dead on mute and you just feel terrified and you feel bad and you feel scared and you want to go home, and this is the saturation of the color and the kind of militaristic violence of it all is so different than the first one that I can't say I like it as much as that, but it's still an interesting movie. It definitely starts getting into Romero's interest in terms of, I mean, the first one does this too, but it's definitely about, you know, what does the proposition of the apocalypse do to our souls and due to our relationships with one another. So the movie is really about the boredom that sets in, which, you know, when we feel like we don't have a future, but we still have, you know, all of the amenities of a shopping mall at our fingertips, you know, what does that do to us? And we just kind of descend into the banality of our own souls. And it illustrates that really nicely. And I'll bring it back to modern horror, the Dawn of the Dead 2004 remake, which is all about flash and excitement and Zack Snyder tricks saps all of the boredom out of this story. And so it's another great example of how Zack Snyder ruins things.
No, stop it. That's a good movie. The
I managed to do it. It's a fine movie, but it definitely it has zero of the spirit of the original, for better or worse.
Well, I mean, at least it wasn't just shot by shot, moment by moment remake. But I mean, I hear what you're saying. But if there's like a solid, fun horror action movie, I think it works on that level for sure. And for me, yeah, it does belong in that conversation of really good, fun horror from the past past decade or so, a little more than that, I guess, for that in that movie's case. Well, cool, man. I think we're good, unless there's anything you feel like you left out.
I mean, in general, are there any filmmakers that new film? I mean, we talked about Ty West and Jennifer Kent. Are there any other up and coming filmmakers that you're kind of excited to see more horror stuff from?
Well, there's a director like. So we're excited to an extent about a guy like James Wan, right? Because he made a good Fast and Furious.
Oh yeah, yeah, I should totally mention The Conjuring. The Conjuring
yeah.
would absolutely be on my list.
Yeah, so people really love The Conjuring. I don't really love it, and there are people who really, you know, some people who really like what he started with Saw when that came out years ago. It's all right. The Saw movies have something to offer, if even just a little bit. But the guy has now made a Fast and the Furious movie, and he's obviously making, Aquaman. And so maybe
yeah.
he's sort of, I don't know, taking a break from the genre. Something tells me a guy like him who started there and had so much success there will probably return at some point, probably in the immediate future, considering how quickly he can turn around movies. So he's a guy, you know, I think just worth keeping an eye on. And, you know, there's all these Blumhouse movies that seem to be reigning supreme in terms of mainstream horror and what works at the box office and what can work with critics sometimes. But I mean, horror movies keep coming. They're so often like horror movies in theaters. I can't say that I get to theaters to see horror movies all that much anymore. But I'm always interested. I'm always intrigued. And what's interesting is a lot of the movies that we've already talked about here that are considered great modern horror movies are not ones that get wide releases. So talking about like The Babadook or The Witch, they're movies that are art house favorites that gain a lot of word of mouth success. And I eventually catch on Netflix or on DVD or whatever. So I think that's interesting. And I'm interested to see when the divide between box office and critical success, when those will once again meet, hopefully in the near future.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, you did just mention the Blumhouse movies and, you know, the Paranormal Activities and Purges and all these, and the new Ouija movie has pretty good reviews. So yeah, I feel like that's where it comes to me, where I just don't do very much homework when it comes to horror movies. You know, I really only seek them out if I feel like they're going to be that kind of well-crafted thing that I love. So yeah, I'm. But I am excited that there's a model, you know, out there for making them happen and giving young filmmakers the chance to have a platform. So, again, I think a real true horror nerd might agree with me in saying that we're in the middle of a bit of a boom.
Well, and we should also, like, real quick, a great filmmaker who has satirized the genre but at the same time has made great horror movies is Edgar Wright, who
yep.
clearly gets it and has, you know, maybe it was inadvertent that he ended up making good horror movies and Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, but yeah, they're jokey and they have fun things to say about the genre, but they're also pretty solid horror movies. But real quick before we go, who is a current director who hasn't really made a horror movie you think would make a great horror movie?
I mean, there's elements of horror in Take Shelter by Jeff Nichols. And I feel like if he kind of followed that down the rabbit trail, he may be able to make something really special, especially if you bring in a lot of his Southern Gothic sensibilities.
Interesting. I like that. My first go-to director is kind of like a guy who I think I answered this for most genres, but I think Brad Bird would make a good horror movie if given the opportunity, one that was fun and one that manipulated the audience. And while I'm saying that, you know what would be really neat is if Pixar made a horror movie, even if it was just like a kid's horror movie. And I know there's a movie like Monster House that came out not too long ago that sort of, you know, and there have been things like Paranorman and Coraline, obviously, that have been kids' computer animated or stop-motion animated movies that have been made and been successful, but Pixar's kind of done it all by now, but they haven't made a horror movie yet, so why not Pixar?
Yeah, and there's that little sequence at the end of Monsters University where they're at the, like, summer camp.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it kind of gives you a really, really subtle look at what it could look like. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I would love, and that's just a genre in general that, you know, Stranger Things kind of went there on Netflix. The whole family horror movie subgenre is something that I feel like could come back. I heard Krampus is maybe in that, or maybe that's rated R. I can't remember. But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the Gremlins approach
yeah.
to horror, where it is legitimately scary, but it's right on the edge where you can still, you know, it spooks kids, but it doesn't scar them forever or you know, damage them. I feel like that is, there may be a little market there that isn't being tapped into. And I would love to see that, you know, be, you know, a filmmaker like Brad Bird or the Pixar crew or somebody like that to take a stab at it.
Awesome. Well, we did it. We did a horror show on Halloween, and now it's November, and we might as well just not post this. So,
yep, delete.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited, coming soon.